Thank you, Brother Abram and Reverend McCoy, for your participation in our devotional period. We have been prayed for. Let us get into the Word. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And certainly we thank God for this day. As we say often, this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are to be glad in it. What a wonderful time it is to be on the Lord's side. God is doing great things in the life of his people and in the life of the church. And certainly I pray that you are part of it as God is moving and active and audible in this season. I'm as Paul Martin, whatever God is doing, please don't do it without me. Allow me to be a part of what you are doing. Listen, still excited about last Sunday. God blessed us with two services, and we're having two services for space purposes, and he gave us 14 days of consecration, and I feel empowered and energized and thanking God for what he has done for us and how he has blessed us through our morning studies. We were so blessed that the Lord burdened my heart to have early morning study on Wednesdays, 5 a.m. early morning studies, Facebook. We're excited about that. And so we will start August the 2nd at 5 a.m. Facebook Live. We will continue. I want you all to get some topics and subject matters that you want to discuss, and maybe I can address those as we are waking up early on Wednesday morning. September, not August. Thank you, Brother Abram. Not August, but September the 2nd. Thank you much for that. September the 2nd, we start next week. Next week, Wednesday of next week, 5 a.m. September the 2nd. Thank you so much for that, man. So y'all get ready and get excited about our early morning study. We would call it Waking on Wednesdays in the Word. Waking on Wednesdays in the Word. Listen, I also want you to tune in Thursday for a fruitful talk from the pew. Sister Nicole McCoy will bring up the rear this month. And it will wrap up the month of August. This is Love Month. And we're excited about what she has to say to us on Thursday. And then next month is Joy Month. The month of September is Joy Month. And we are excited about the participants who will share with us the second facet of the fruit of the Spirit, joy. So God is doing great things. We have had a lot of great meetings, and we're just excited about what God is doing. Listen, don't be left behind. Make sure you are indulged and engaged in what God is doing. All right, Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18, and we will end with verse 26. It reads this way: while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch the garment, his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. I want to talk about Jesus' power to heal the unclean. Jesus' power to heal the unclean. When Jesus came on the scene, over 1,000 years of tradition had been shaped and had shaped the culture, dividing nearly everything and everyone into categories of clean and unclean. Jesus, knowing the law, touched the unclean. But in touching the unclean, he never became unclean. We see this because he completely fulfilled the law. Let me say that again. Jesus, in touching the unclean, never became unclean because the word says that he completely fulfilled the law. Instead of Jesus becoming unclean, whoever he touched, who was considered ritually unclean, became clean. It was not a changing of Jesus. It was Jesus changing them. Verse 18 says, there came a certain ruler. Matthew did not share the man's name, but we know from Mark's and Luke's gospel that his name is Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one of the elders to whom was committed the care of the synagogue. Jairus was an important man. He was a devout man. He was a man of status and prestige. He was well known in the Jewish community as a Jewish leader. But isn't it something how life can take the most renowned of men and humble them? He was a well known man, but notice now, he was helpless. He had a situation in his life that brought him to the feet of Jesus. And let me say to us, brothers and sisters, there will come times in our lives when situations will thrust us down at the feet of Jesus. He came to Jesus because he had a 12-year-old daughter sick and at the point of death. The Bible says his daughter was dying. His daughter was dying. Notice he came and worshiped Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus and begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And Jairus asked Jesus to come and lay hand on his daughter. In that time and at that day, it was customary for Jewish prophets to lay their hands on people in need. And by laying on the hand, it was believed to bestow favor. He knew his daughter needed favor, divine favor. So Jairus's fading daughter needed favor. The Bible says that Jesus consented. He was on his way with Jairus to Jairus's home. And all of a sudden, as he was en route to Jairus's house, there was a woman, according to verse 20, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. The woman suffered from constant bleeding, the type of bleeding she had caused several problems, such as a fast heartbeat, low blood pressure, and low body temperature. She was suffering because she was hemorrhaging. She had a blood issue. The Bible says that Jesus, while he was en route to Jairus' house, had a crowd of people around him. And this woman, according to the law, had no right to be in the public because she was considered unclean. But she risked her life to be healed by the Master. She pressed her way in and touched the hem of his garment. Now, she pressed her way. Some theologians and some scholars say that she got down on her knees and hands and crawled through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Let me deal with this woman's ritual condition. Her disease was considered unclean. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25 says, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean." Jesus could be touched by this unclean woman and not be tainted or ceremonially defiled, because Jesus is the source of cleansing. Amen. He's not affected by our conditions, but our conditions can be affected by him. She was considered unclean. She touched him. She touched him. And he did not become unclean, but she became clean. Not only was her disease considered unclean, but her disease was considered incurable. The text says, prior to her encounter with Jesus, she sought help from doctors. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
She went from doctor to doctor, according to Mark chapter 5. And the doctors had taken all her money, but had not healed her. Instead of her issue getting better, it grew worse, according to Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 5, verse 26. So this woman's disease was incurable according to medical practices of the doctors. But what's too hard for man is not too hard for God. That God has power that's superior to a man's power, that God has power to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. God has power, and he is omnipotent, which means he has all power. And so she was considered, her disease was considered incurable. But in spite of the failure of medical doctors, she had faith in Jesus. She felt in her spirit that Jesus could heal her. She knew that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. So she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now the hem of his garment was the border with loose threads hanging down. And Jews were commanded to wear robes with a fringe along the edge to distinguish them from other nations. The fringe also was a visible reminder of God's law. It is Numbers chapter 15, verses 38 and 39. We see this. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own hearts and your own eyes, after which ye used to go whoring." Jesus had the garment on, and she felt within her heart, within her spirit, if she could only touch the hem, the fringe of his garment, she would be made whole. And the Bible says, the moment she touched him, she felt relief. The moment she touched him, she felt relief. Let me say it. She felt relief the moment she touched the hem of his garment. No delay. She was instantly healed. But I like her response, because Jesus looked around because he felt virtue go out of him. He knew it was a touch of someone with a need, with a desire to be healed and made whole. So he looked around, and the Bible says she feared after she touched his garment. And notice his words were words of comfort, words to soothe her fears. He says, "Be of good cheer," or "be of good comfort." He silenced her fears, commended her faith, and sent her away in peace. He calls a daughter. He gives her a word of affection and tenderness. By the power of his word, get it? By the power of his word, Jesus delivered her from the tedious laboring under a declining and disgusting disease at the power of his word. In an instant, Jesus healed her and made her whole, something she had been chasing for 12 years. In a few minutes, I'll get to what is called due time. She had reached her due time. She had been grappling and scuffling and struggling under the weight of this dreadful disease. But now had come due time. See, Jesus is never late. He's always on time. Some might ask, where was Jesus 12 years ago? He was where he was. Her appointment was this particular day. Now, we see the grace of God in that she didn't die during the 12 years. That God sustained life, gave her what she didn't deserve, all the while she was seeking after a cure or healing and wholeness. So, 12 years, she had wrestled and grappled and struggled with this dreadful, declining, disgusting disease. And in an instant, Jesus healed her and made her whole, according to verse 22. Her faith in Jesus was the means of her restoration. It was the power of Jesus that cured her, but the power was exerted in connection with her faith. Now Jesus healed her, but remember, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' dying daughter. This woman interrupted, so to speak, the Jesus and Jairus' route to Jairus' house by touching his garment. And some people see it as an interruption. But Jesus, hear this, will never see your need as an interruption in his day. God have mercy. Let me say that again. Jesus will never see your need as an interruption in his day. Everything that was happening in chapter 9 happened according to God's plan and God's purpose. Now, verses 23 and 24, it says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. She died according to verse 24. And Jesus had been delayed on his journey, or on his way to Jairus' home. And by the time Jesus made it to Jairus' home, Jairus' daughter was dead. Now, understand, we must trust God's timing. We must trust in God's timing. Because God's timing is perfect. Sometimes God allows delays so that we can learn to trust him more. It brings to mind when Jesus got news of Lazarus. He didn't go right away, because there had to be a fulfillment of prophecy. There had to be a fulfillment of God's word. He did not go right away. The Bible says that he was offset by 4 days. He showed up 4 days after Lazarus had been buried. He had been in the tomb for 4 days. We have to trust God's timing.
Right.
He's never late. He's always on time. And y'all know what happened. He went to the grave side of Lazarus, the grave site, and he called Lazarus by name. And Lazarus came out of the grave with his grave clothes on, and the Lord said, loose him. He demonstrated his power over death. I like this particular story of the Word of God, in the Word of God, this particular lesson, because Jesus did more than say or speak. Jesus did more than just call this girl's name or call her damsel. The Bible says he touched her. But before I get to the touch, understand what's happening in the house. Jesus makes it to the house, and there are hired mourners in the house. Notice there are hired mourners. There are mourners consisting of minstrel flute players, men and women to make lamentation. An example of this is in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 25, when Josiah was killed in battle and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned his death. At that time, they would hire mourners to come in and mourn along with the family during their time of loss. It was a part of preparing for burial. This girl had just died, and they had brought in mourners to help the family mourn her death. And Jesus showed up right in the midst of it. And the Bible says, Jesus told all the people who were crying about the girl's death, cry no more. Cry no more, because she is not dead, but sleeps. And the people stopped crying about the girl and started laughing at Jesus. Jesus, he meant to speak in opposition to their behavior. Notice what happened. They stopped mourning and crying over the girl and about the girl and started laughing at Jesus. That's what people do who are not connected to you. They do the wrong thing at times. They had no invested compassion and no invested heart, so it was easy for them to laugh at what Jesus said. Jesus says she's not dead. She's sleeping. And they began to laugh. Notice he spoke in opposition to their behavior. He used the expression "she is asleep" to affirm that her body was dead, but her spirit still lived.
Right.
Y'all missed that. Her body was dead, but her spirit still lived. He puts them out. I'm almost finished. He puts the people out. He and his closest disciples, Peter, James, John, along with Jairus and Miss Jairus, and they went into the house. And the Bible says he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Here's another time where the ritual aspect of the law forbade touching the deceased or the dead corpse of a person. But Jesus touched the dead girl. And when he touched the dead girl, by law, he was considered unclean, because in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11, whosoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. But Jesus was not defiled by touching the disease nor the dead, because he changed them instead of them changing him.
That's right.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You serve a God who's able to change you, and you can't change him. See, he's not affected by our conditions, but we are affected and changed and altered when we are touched by him. It only took a touch to raise the girl to life. This amazed Peter, James, John, and Jairus, and his wife. And the disciples knew that Jesus had power over nature. They watched him calm a storm. They knew he had power over sickness. They witnessed Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law and healing those with various illnesses. The woman with the issue of blood just a few minutes or hours prior to making it to the house. They knew he had power over distance. He could speak the word, and the word made it to the centurion's house before the centurion made it himself. He had power over demons. He had cast out a legion of demons, thousands of demons, out of two men at the grave yard on the other coast into the swines. But now they knew that Jesus had power over death. Oh, brothers and sisters, as we study, we get a glimpse of Jesus in Scripture. And it should give us the faith we need to stay diligent and committed and dedicated to the calling of God, because he has power over all. These are tough times, but he's tougher than the times. And he can make right what's wrong. He can heal and fix what's broken. He can align and set straight what's out of line. He has power to do far more than we could ever pray about and ask him to do. And he gives that power to us. I want us to live by that power, to serve by that power. He gives us demonstrations so that we will know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Lord. He's above all, and all is beneath him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, opening our eyes and allowing us to see the power of Jesus, that he has power over all of life. We can trust him because he has conquered it all already. Thank you for, Lord, his greatest expression of his power when he conquered his own death, got up Sunday morning with all power, heaven and earth, in his hand. And he tells us to go ye therefore, because he has power in his hand. And we are like the people of Matthew 28 that worship him. We are not doubting, but we're trusting in Jesus and the power of Jesus. Bless us, Father, as we go hither and thither to share with the world, oh Father, your gospel, your truth, your message. the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, the power of your word to save. Lord, we pray that you build a hedge around us and keep us. And whatever you allow, we know that we can handle, because you put no more on us than we are able to bear. We pray for every member of the church. Keep them safe. We pray for the sick. We ask you to heal, as you have done in your word. You're no respect to person or period. You can do it now, as you have done in the past. And we trust you to do so. We pray for the bereaved. Bless the Gordon family. Lord, give us word that we can share and encourage their hearts to keep looking unto you. You are the author and finish of our faith. Thank you, Father, for our services. We pray, oh Father, that you will shower us with your blessings. Thank you for the media ministry. Bless their families. Bless their hearts and the works of their hands. I thank you for these that are here tonight, Brother Abram and Brother McCoy, Reverend McCoy. I thank you for all of the brethren and all of the members. Thank you, Father, for all things. Give us safe travel as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.